Good morning and welcome back. It's so nice to learn together once again with everyone who is here. Just before we begin the shiur, I'd like to mention the dedication for today's shiur. It has been generously sponsored by Mrs. Ann Strauss in loving memory of her late husband, Mr. Michael S. Strauss, HaChaver Shlomo Michal Ben Meir, Aleph HaShalom, whose yard site will be this coming Sunday. And we hope that our Divrei Torah today and our learning today will be an Ilui HaNeshama for him, and that he will continue to serve as a Melitz Yosher for your family, that you should have simchas and bracha and nachas, and so much to celebrate, so much to be happy about. Last week, I was blessed to be in Eretz Yisrael. The way I see it, it is always a blessing to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's always a gift, always a delight, always a privilege to spend time in Eretz Yisrael, even when it's for the shortest amount of time. Being able to walk the streets of Yerushalayim, being able to look at the Hare Yehuda, and have the opportunity to walk where all of our ancestors walked and appreciate the absolutely spectacular gift that Eretz Yisrael is to all of us and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us 75 years ago is always an exciting opportunity for me. Somehow it never gets old. Somehow it continues to be fresh. And Baruch Hashem, I was very happy to be there. Unfortunately, the painful events and painful circumstances of the past few weeks are what brought me to Eretz Yisrael. Myself and Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg paid a Shiva visit to the D family who were sitting Shiva in their home in Efrat. And what touched us most powerfully about this visit was the indescribable power of the connection that Torah has, the common language, the common study, the common values of Torah that bind Jews all over the world together. All I thought of as we were there was the comment of the Rishonim, Ein umosenu uma ela b'toroseha. What makes us a nation, what defines us as a people is our Torah, that is the indestructible ingredient, that is the linchpin for what the Jewish people are all about. It is what has kept us alive. So to think about the fact that we live 6,000 miles away from a family who is sitting Shiva, when you have a naturally created barrier just by the fact that you're so far away and a great sense of distance, but hearing from them how they've been listening and following our shiurim here from the shul religiously for a decade, understanding how closely connected somebody can feel just from the result of studying years and years of Torah together. Rabbi Goldberg and I felt the need to participate and spend time with them in person. And to me, it was such an incredible thought. It made me have a sense of tremendous achrayus, of tremendous responsibility. It made me realize the privilege of modern technology and what it has afforded us in the venue of unimaginable aspirations for Harbatzas Torah, and potential hashpa that all of us can have, letav or lemutav. We can have hashpa, we can have influence for good, and unfortunately, we can also have horrific, terrible influence for the bad. And we don't realize when we make a comment, we don't realize when we post something, we don't realize when we share something, where that can go. And that goes, as I said, in both directions. And it just made me have a paralyzing sense of emas hatzibur. You know, when you come and you share words of Torah or you share anything with a community, with a klal, with a tzibur, you're supposed to have a certain emas hatzibur. You're supposed to have a certain sense of understanding of the responsibility that you hold when you are speaking to other people. But when you realize that it could be an international tzibur that you're speaking to, when it could be people that are not in front of you and they can take things in a different way than you meant them, and you just have to be so careful, it was something that really gave me a very stark reminder of how careful we all need to be. This week, as we know, is a celebratory one for the Jewish people as we mark 75 years since Hakamas HaMedina, this overwhelming gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave our people in 1948, in the year Tafshin Ches. Before we get into the shiur, I really don't have a more powerful way to express myself. I sent it out on the WhatsApp group just now, but I really think it is so critically important at a time when so many communities across the United States have neglected their support for the State of Israel and for all the values that the State of Israel stands for and the gift that Eretz Yisrael is to all of us. It is so imperative, it is so important that all of us, who are a community that is strongly supportive of what Eretz Yisrael means to us, of the gift of understanding of what it is to us to have this incredible opportunity in our generation, it is important that we come out tonight and we show our politicians are going to be here tonight. They need to know that we care. Forget about our politicians. We should feel enough that we care. We should feel that at least once a year we should have the opportunity to come together and celebrate and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift that he has given us. And I really feel it is so important for all of us to do whatever we can. I know everyone's busy. I'm also busy. We all have lots of things to do. I also have a lot of things to do. And it's important that we make time to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to show the United States that this is something that is very, very important to us. And we will cancel other things that we are willing to do tonight, because celebrating the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is very, very important. So I just encourage all of you to come tonight. We're going to start with Mincha at 7:30. Forgetting about the rest of the celebration, why not daven Mincha b'kavana, in honor of the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us? Why not come b'rovam hadras melech and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'li Yerushalayim ircha berachamim tashuv? Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as tzemach David avdecha meheras atzmiach. Say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim, with 1,000 people tonight. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Forget about anything else that we may or may not do. Why not try to daven with a tzibur for all that we aspire toward, all that we wish for in Eretz Yisrael, in our dreams, and in our communal aspirations for what it means to us? So before we get into the shiur today, I just want to take a moment to remind ourselves how Rav Soloveitchik, who was, as we know, a staunch and outspoken advocate for Eretz Yisrael, for Medinas Yisrael, for all that Eretz Yisrael represents to us, let me just remind all of us how he framed what the gift of Eretz Yisrael is all about and what its significance to us as Jews living in this generation needs to be. In the book Chamesh Drashot, which is a very strange name for a book, basically Rav Soloveitchik gave 5 different lectures on 5 different occasions. Someone put them together and called the book Chamesh Drashot, which is really not such a creative name. But in the book Chamesh Drashot, Rav Soloveitchik writes the following. Let's read it together. In Medinas Yisrael hina chelek mikrisas habris elokisim Avram. If you view Eretz Yisrael as a continuation of that gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu so many thousands of years ago, for anyone who may have come in late, there are plenty of sheets there somewhere in the back. Chelek mehagorel hamistori shel ger v'toshav anochi imachem. If you believe that this is part of that dream that Avraham Avinu was told of ger v'toshav anochi imachem, in Medinas Yisrael tia tabas b'sharsheres hazav shel hamisora hayehudit. If you will see Eretz Yisrael as one more link in the chain, in the golden chain of Jewish heritage and Jewish history, im hi soleles hasaderach la'achris hayamim, if you believe that Eretz Yisrael will pave the way toward the aspiration of achris hayamim, of geula, then, he says, and only then, kol ha'karbanos kedayim, then and only then, all of the sacrifice, all of the thousands of lives that we have lost, can be said that they were for something. Kala mizbecho shebinyano kidei liyaseh des medinas Yisrael kidoshim v'yikarim. Then we can say that there was some purpose for all those families who are suffering, for all those families who have had so much loss, for all those families who are struggling to try to move on for the suffering that they have gone through and the tragedy that they have endured. Ulam, he writes, in medinas Yisrael tehafech lemamlacha chilonit. If the land of Israel, if the state of Israel will turn into a secular country, lelo Torah ulelo kedusha, lelo Shabbos ulelo chinuch dati, lelo taras hamishpacha, if we're going to have a country that is not based on what the halachic values and principles need to be, if we're going to have a country that doesn't value Shmirah Shabbos, doesn't understand what taras hamishpacha is all about, doesn't understand what kedusha is supposed to be that emanates from the land of Eretz Yisrael, Medina ban nishchak hayichud hayehudi, if we're going to erase and eradicate what the Jewish spirit is really supposed to be about, then he writes, hamechir she'ana mishalmim avura bedam uvidemos gadol yoter midai. Then the price that we have paid and that we continue to pay is way too high. And there is no justification at all to pay this price. And let's just forget about this whole idea of going back to Eretz Yisrael right now, because this is not something that is worth fighting for, says Rav Soloveitchik. If Eretz Yisrael is not synonymous with Torah and Kedusha and Shabbos and Taras HaMishpacha and everything else that a Jewish family and community is all about, then why are we doing this? B'tor toshavim, yecholim anu lachios dei tov begalus. We can live just fine in Galus. Look around the room. We can live just fine in the Galus. Shilton Yisrael hu inyan gadol. Having a Jewish country with a Jewish government, with a Jewish army, is wonderful. However, he says, that is only wonderful when it is inextricably bound with the values of Kedusha, Biyoso kosher le kedusha kedusha o malchus. Shilton basar v'dam l'shem malchus. If all you're going to do is have a prime minister, medina l'shem rosh memshala, afilu l'shem chaverim datiyim memshala, who cares? You have a prime minister, you have ministers in the government, even some of them are religious. Ein lazeh kol erech. There is no value in that on its own. In a vacuum, there is nothing to that. That is only valuable if it is connected to something much larger, to what the Jewish people really are all about. And that is to understand that if we want to have a Medina, if we want to have a Jewish country, it has to be run based on the principles of what the Jewish Torah, of what the Jewish law expect of all of us. On another occasion, Rav Soloveitchik said, and you can read it here, the Mizrahi must also understand that we do not phrase Zionism plus religious, or religious Zionism. For us, there is only one unique noun. And what is that noun? That noun is Torah. Israel is holy and dear because the Torah sanctified it, and because the Torah's future is tied to it. There's a major discussion whether or not we should be saying Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut. Different communities do different things. Personally, it makes me uncomfortable when one community challenges another. Why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? Why don't we just try to be good Jews and stop worrying about everyone else? How about that? How about that for a good idea? Thank you. Sir Rabbi Avadia Yosef and many of the other greats of the last generation, post-1948, had to deal with this issue. This was a miraculous event. This was a monumentous event in Jewish history that we were given the land of Israel, and so soon after the Shoah, what an amazing gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. What a miracle. But does that fit into the qualifications of when one is supposed to say Hallel or not? There are guidelines in the Gemara of when one says Hallel, when one does not. Anyway, Rabbi Avadia Yosef has a long tshuva where he discusses it among many others of his generation, but he ends off the tshuva when he says the following. Whether you say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut or you don't say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, whether you recognize, hey, Iyar Tafshin Ches is something that is significant because the land of Israel is important to you or not, let us not forget the most important characteristic of what this means to us in our generation. And I'm going to read you his words. Lo echache, ki be'emes im kol hatzlalem hanal. It's true, there are different variations of perspectives that people have. And unfortunately, he says, you go around Yerushalayim and you see that there are churches and mosques all over the place. Most prominently in the Makam HaMikdash, where we should be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are other nations of the world who are serving their gods there. With all of that, right, Sir Avadia Yosef? Yeshnam oros gedolim she'in lanu lehis'alem mehem. You cannot deny the incredible light. I'm sorry, I saw this morning, so I didn't have a chance to put it on. Everything else happened after midnight last night. This was post. Yeshnam oros gedolim she'in lanu lehis'alem mehem. There are lights that are so prominent that are coming out of Eretz Yisrael that we cannot ignore. Kimedinas Yisrael kayom hi merkaz haTorah ba'olam kulo. Let us not deny the reality that the center of Torah in the entire world is not Lakewood, and it's not YU, and it's not Neri Yisrael in Baltimore, and it's not Touro College. It is Eretz Yisrael. It is the center and citadel of Torah. Let us not fool ourselves. I have to tell you, I was in Eretz Yisrael last week, and everybody asked me after I came back, they wanted to hear how inspiring it was. I said, to be honest with you, of course, one piece of it was extremely inspiring, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But something very unexpectedly inspiring happened to me also. And I think to me, it was almost like an equal takeaway message and something that is so relevant to all of us living here in the United States or wherever we are. I'll give you the backstory. I was in Eretz Yisrael in December. Stern College had sent me to teach for a couple of days in the seminary. I think I was there 4 days. I spoke in 18 seminaries. It was a great trip. And then I came back. On my last day there, I said, you know, I really need to buy a new hat. And for me to schlep to Brooklyn to buy a hat is much more difficult than it is for me to be in Yerushalayim and just buy one there and bring it home. So that's what I did. I went to the store on Yecheskel. I bought myself a new hat. I filled out the VAT form. I said, I want to get back the taxes. I was in the airport. And I go to the officer, the person behind the counter, and they make you show them the merchandise in order to get the money back. So I showed them something. I took my hat box out. I opened it up. They said, great, put it away. They gave me the money. I went on the plane. Everything was fine. We had a wedding a couple of days later. I took out my hat box to put on the new hat for the wedding. And lo and behold, there's no hat in the box. And I'm thinking, how can this be? Which Jew would be on my flight, see a brand new hat box, and steal it from the box? Like, that's really strange. But okay, I was really impressed with this person. Like, like that's a great move. You see a brand new hat box, it's a few hundred dollars in there. That's a great idea. But it's strange to me. It's strange to me that somebody in the service of God would want to steal a hat because they just need a hat. I don't know. It was very strange, but I said, look, at least something good came out. I got the hat back. So, okay. I went back to Eretz Yisrael last week, and I had like an hour in Yerushalayim before I had to fly home. I said to my wife, I'm going to go buy a hat. She said, the same thing's going to happen to you again. So I said, no, that doesn't happen twice. It only happens once. I go into the store. I tell the guy, okay, I need a hat, but you're not going to believe what happened to me. He says, what happened? I said, I was here in December. He says, Rega, Atas Schechter? I said, yes. So he says, we've been looking for you since December. I said, what are you talking about? He shows me a box behind the counter that says Schechter on it in a big with a big note. And I said, what's going on here? He says, well, we were in such a rush. You said you had to get to the airport. We mistakenly gave you the wrong box. And you left your hat here. We thought you'd be back in 5 minutes to come correct the mistake, but you didn't show up and you didn't call us. Why would I have thought that I took an empty box from a store? And why would I have thought that the person, the VAT officer, when I opened the box, didn't notice that it was empty? Okay. The point is not to tell jokes. So what happened was, the guy tells me, we called the airport because you told us you were flying out. We called customs in the airport. We told them when Schechter gets there, please tell him his hat is here and he should come back and get it. They said nobody would put our message through. We've really been trying, so we decided we're going to hold on to it. 5 months they're holding on to this. And I said to myself, what an Ehrlichkeit. If I owned a store and somebody left merchandise and then flew back to America, after a month or two or three or four, I think I would just put it back on the shelf and say, forget it. I'll be honest. The halacha is that they don't have to return it to me. I was absolutely meyayish. I was sure that this Jew who stole it from me on the plane is having a great time with it. And actually, I said to my wife at the time, I'm mochel that person b'leib shalem. They should enjoy it. It's not geneva. If they needed it, let them use it. It's great. I'm so happy it's being used. And here I am, and I see such an Ehrlichkeit. I was amazed. I said to my wife, I should really give them money. This is amazing. And she said, do you see these people are jumping out of their skin? Hashavas aveda, shabbat aveda. I said, you know, this is the way a country is supposed to run. That hashavas aveda is the most important thing to you and not money. How many of us who run stores here, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, I don't know who owns a store, but how many of us who run a store would have that kind of sensitivity, would have that Ehrlichkeit and hashavas aveda, so excited. Anyway, fine. I then had to go pick something up to eat because we hadn't eaten in 3 days. So I went, there was a small store in Geula where they sell omelets. So I told this woman, can you just pack it up? I'm running to the flight, just put something together and I'm going to the airport. She says, of course. I see her talking to this old Yerushalmi Yid who's sitting down in the store and she's telling him, we have tuna fish. And he says, no, ani rotzeh rosh dag. And she says, no, we don't sell fish heads here. I can make you tuna fish sandwich, back and forth. I said to this woman, can you tell me, does this man pay for his meal? He looked disheveled, there was no way he was paying. I said, does he pay for his meal? She said, no. So I said, okay, I'd like to pay for him. There's no reason why you should lose money. I said, give him whatever he needs. I'll pay for him. She looked at me like I fell off of another planet. She said in Hebrew, are you crazy? Zeh haschut sheli. Every day this man comes in for breakfast. He has nothing to eat. You think I'm going to give it to you? I'm not going to let you pay for him. This is on me. I said, okay, can you tell me how many other people do you have throughout the course of the week who come in and do the same thing? She said, many. So I said, okay, here's $100. This goes for all the people you've paid for in the last 2 weeks or month, whatever it is. I'm really amazed by what you do. Please keep the money. She says, are you sure? She takes out a calculator, does the exchange. How much is $100 in shkalim? Writes it down on a piece of paper. And then tapes the piece of paper to the wall. So I said to her, what are you doing? Why is this taped onto the wall? She says, well, you gave me money and you told me that it should go for people who can't pay. I have to keep a cheshbon to know how many people came in. I said, no, I gave it to you for you. I trust you. She said, no. Osim cheshbon milamala. Ata choshev shani lo taaseh cheshbon. I had these two things one after the other and I walked away and I said, this is what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. This is how a Jew is supposed to live. that everything we do is all about the values of Torah and Chesed, and whatever profession we're in, you can own the hat store, you can own the omelet station. Look what you can do. Look what a Kiddush Hashem you can make. Look how sensitive you can be. That's what we celebrate. You want to know what Yom HaAtzmaut is? That's what it is. That's what we celebrate. That there are Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, living a life based on the values of Torah and mitzvos. Jews living a life, making us proud as a Jewish people for what they do and how they do it. Sarav Soloveitchik reminds us, and Rabbi Avad Yosef, as I mentioned, says, don't forget that the greatest gift of Eretz Yisrael has been Ki mitzion teitzei soro devar Hashem Yerushalayim. That they are the citadel, the bastion of Torah for the entire world. That's where it all comes from. So, being in Eretz Yisrael last week was a reaction to a deep and magnetic Torah connection that Rabbi D and his family had felt to us, who he learns Torah with. I'll be honest, I never met this man before. After he mentioned it to me at the Shiva, making fun of me in my email responses to him, I had no recollection that he had emailed me on occasion in the past, questions on a shiur, comments on a shiur. But it was the perfect reminder for me of what Eretz Yisrael is really all about. There's no such thing as Aliyah for the sake of Aliyah. There's no such thing as Eretz Yisrael for the sake of Zionism. That's not what it means. It's Aliyah for the sake of furthering our commitment to Torah and mitzvos. It's Eretz Yisrael because we work tirelessly in building and populating this land in order that we should have the opportunity to promote and to advocate and to highlight the values of what it means to live life based on Jewish principles and all that the Torah has represented for us in the last 3,000 years. You know, the past couple of months have been a particularly painful time in Eretz Yisrael, with devastating stories of multiple sets of brothers and sisters and family members being murdered by bloodthirsty terrorists. And everyone is saying, what's the message? I don't know. I think you have to be blind not to see the message. When we have a country that's being torn apart and on the brink of a civil war, to not see that brothers and sisters are being killed in succession, something that we haven't seen in so many years since the Shoah, I think, you got to be blind and tone deaf not to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us. I'm sure there's a lot more, but the most obvious message to all of us is to think about what that means and our commitment to our own brothers and sisters. But being in Efrat last week and having the opportunity to spend time with a broken, shattered community who were in deep mourning over the tragedy that they suffered, to me, was an extremely humbling and inspiring experience, looking at people who sacrificed their lives living in dangerous places on behalf of the state of Israel and the people of Eretz Yisrael. And as a Jew, living comfortably in the five towns in the diaspora, I could not help but think of the timeless words of Haggai HaNavi. So that's what we'll begin with. All of that was just an introduction. So that's what we're going to begin with. Just to give a small context of who Haggai HaNavi was. The last three Nevi'im, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, were the ones who brought the Jewish people back from Galus Bavel to build the second Beis HaMikdash. They were three of the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and the Gemara even tells us that their passing left a tremendous void and a vacuum in the Jewish community. It was the end of an era. Says the Gemara, Mishamesu Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Pascha Ruach HaKodesh MiYisrael. When Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi passed away, there was no longer the ability to have Ruach HaKodesh, which means that you go to a Mekubal today and he tells you this or that. There is no such thing as Ruach HaKodesh Bizman HaZeh. I trust the Gemara more than I trust the Mekubal. The Gemara says, there is no such thing as Ruach HaKodesh in our generation. It stopped in the days of Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. It will come back when Eliyahu HaNavi will come once again. Lifnei bo Yom Hashem HaGadol v'hanora. Until that time, he says, one instruction. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi is the only instruction that he gives. The Navi Malachi says, I'm signing off. There is not going to be Nevuah. There won't be Ruach HaKodesh. And all you need to remember for now until Eliyahu HaNavi comes is Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Follow the laws of the Torah. And that is what will carry you to the end of days. Lifnei ba Yom Hashem HaGadol v'hanora. So Haggai HaNavi tells us the following. He first writes, Ha'am Hazeh Amru, the Jewish people said at the time, living in Galus Bavel, Lo Eis Ba'eis Beis Hashem Lehibanos. This is not the right time to build a Beis HaMikdash. Everything's going very well here. Here we are in the five towns. Everything is fine. This is not the appropriate time to build a Beis HaMikdash. Why would we build a Beis HaMikdash now? Why would we move to Eretz Yisrael? After all, we built a tremendous infrastructure here. We have so many organizations. We have so much chesed. Our children are happy in school. Look at the yeshivas and the schools that we built. Look at the communities we have been able to construct. Amazing. So the Jews in the times of Galus Bavel said the same thing. And the Navi says back to them, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the sheet. This is number Gimel. Ha'es lachem atem lasheves. Is this the appropriate time to sit bibateichem svunim, to sit in your settled and established comfortable homes? V'habayis hazeh harev? Is this an appropriate time for you to just say, I'm comfortable here, Golus is fine? When the Beis HaMikdash is in shambles, when Eretz Yisrael is in disarray, when everything has been demolished and destroyed? And these timeless words can be said again today. Here we are, looking at the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, one tragedy after the other, people sacrificing their lives for all that we want and all that we wish for, and we're all just sitting here comfortable. And life is fine. And everything's great. Like there's nothing going on. Says the Navi, Ha'es lachem atem lasheves. Is this the appropriate time just to sit back and say everything's fine? V'habayis hazeh charev. Let's change the word. V'ha'am hazeh charev. People's lives are being destroyed. People's communities are being upended. Yesterday, Machane Yehuda. Who here hasn't been to Machane Yehuda? I'll be honest, last week was the first time I ever went to Machane Yehuda. I was never there. When I was in Israel, I was in yeshiva. Whenever I'm there now, I'm there on business, speaking all over the place. Who has time to go to Machane Yehuda? And last week, I said to my wife, I've actually never been to Machane Yehuda. She said, you've never been to Machane Yehuda? So I walked there. I walked 10 miles one day in Yerushalayim. What a gift, what a blessing. But how many Jews go to Machane Yehuda? And we're not singling out Machane Yehuda. It's just one example that maybe resonates with many of us because that's where we spend time when we go to Yerushalayim. And the Navi writes, the Navi Chagai ends off by saying, Alu ha'har ve'aveisam eitzu v'nu abayis ve'ertzabo ve'ikavda amar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come. Come and build a home. And finally I will be appeased, and finally I will be comfortable, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the charge to our generation as well. Of course, there are reasons why people don't live in Eretz Yisrael, but we all need to ask ourselves very honestly, is that just an excuse? Or is there a legitimate reason why I'm not living in Eretz Yisrael? Let's be clear. Eretz Yisrael is not the most important mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kula. If somebody has to raise children and they feel that the opportunities for raising children are going to be better here, I'm not saying they will or they won't, but if you feel that way, then you should stay here. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Litzarech Parnasa. If I don't feel I can make a Parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mean that I can't make $5 million a year. It doesn't mean that I have to make the same Parnasa there, but it means in order to be able to live a comfortable life, I'm not going to be able to do that there. Then you stay behind in Chutz La'aretz because a parnasa is very important. We need to take care of our families. But if we don't have all of these legitimate reasons, whatever they are, for shidduchim, for other reasons, if we don't have all of those reasons, we need to very seriously ask ourselves, why are we here? Ha'eis, like the Navi says, Ha'eis lachem atem lasheves bibateichem svunim. Is this appropriate that we as Jews in the diaspora are sitting here comfortably? And the land of Israel is upside down. And people's lives are being destroyed and we are not connecting. And we are not taking a part in the history as it's unfolding. In describing the events of Achris Hayamim, of the Geula, there are many who have wild imaginations of what this experience will look like. But let me just point your attention to the words of the Navi. The Navi Zechariah, let's read it together. Ko amar Hashem. What's going to be shocking and surprising about this is how uninspiring the chazon of Achris Hayamim actually is. So some people think money's going to fall from the trees and no one's ever going to get sick again. And I don't know, everyone has ideas. Look at what the Navi writes. B'shachanti b'sochi Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to be in Yerushalayim. V'nikra Yerushalayim ir ha'emes v'har Hashem tzivakos har ha'kodesh. Ka'amar Hashem. Od Yeshu is a Canaan, was a Canaan's Berachovas Yerushalayim. We're going to have elderly people walking the streets of Yerushalayim. V'ish mishanto b'yado me'rov yamim. And they're going to have a walking stick, a cane, because they're elderly and they need assistance. Urechovos ha'ir yimalu yiladim v'yiladus mesachkim berachovos seha. There are going to be young children kicking around soccer balls. And that is Achris Hayamim. How uninspiring. I mean, this is a description of the most mundane, ordinary, routine snapshot of Jewish life that we see in Eretz Yisrael today. But that's not so exciting. I would have expected more. 3,000 years of waiting, I would have said, you know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done more for us. Maybe it could have been a little bit more than just, you know, people walking the streets of Yerushalayim and kids kicking soccer balls. But what we've come to learn is that that would be the greatest and most overwhelming gift. Imagine a world where you can actually walk the streets of Yerushalayim, visit Machane Yehuda, go through the Arab Shuk, and not be afraid that you're not going to come out as another one of those people on the list of Nifga'im. Imagine living a life without a fear of a gruesome murderer coming behind you and stabbing you with a kitchen knife. Yes, that is the nevuah of Achris Hayamim. And we've come to appreciate it even more as we see that that's not the reality that we have yet. We're not there yet. Od Yeshu Zakenim Zakenos, it's nice to see people populating Yerushalayim. Just yesterday they put out the study, 10 million people almost in Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing. The growth is exponential. But we're not there yet. We are not at Achris Hayamim just yet. Because we don't have this ability to have Zakenim Uzakenos Berachovos Yerushalayim walking comfortably and children playing without being afraid for their lives. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he says what his vision of Achris Hayamim is, points our attention to another very mundane experience. Od Yishama Ba'ara Yehuda V'chutzes Yerushalayim. People are going to get married, Kol Sasa V'Kol Simcha. Just living a normal, calm, peaceful life. That's the nevuah of Achris Hayamim. And guess what? Unfortunately, we are not there yet. And we hope and we aspire and we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us that opportunity to once again have that experience. You know, there has been so much discussion, especially today on Yom HaZikaron, but over the last couple of weeks, so much discussion about Kiddush Hashem, when we memorialize, when we remember the Kiddushim. Last week, when we were in Efrat, so Leo D. said something that to me was so impactful, was so powerful. He was speaking to us a lot about Kaddish, about his thoughts and feelings about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu singles people out, why Chazal decided that, in his words, he says, the Nebuch who just lost, I didn't say that, he said it, the Nebuch who just lost three members of his family has to now stand out even more, as if not enough people were staring at him yet. So now he has to stand out even more every time he goes to a minyan and he has to say Kaddish and how uncomfortable it is. And why would Chazal have set up such a system? What was the reason for that? He gave his interpretation, which I do not agree with. I told him then I didn't agree with it. I don't understand what he was saying. But he joked with me that in our emails before we hadn't agreed on other things as well. So this was just another. So why do we say Kaddish when mourning somebody who was lost? It's a very good question. But something that he pointed out, if we have enough time, I'll get into it, why I think the reason why we say Kaddish. But something that he pointed out was he was in Shul on Shabbos during the Shiva. And he said the Chazan was getting up to Kedusha, which is really the hallmark of the davening on Shabbos morning and during the week. And he said before the Chazan started Kedusha, he went up to the Yamid and he stopped the Chazan. And he gave a speech. And he said, what right do I have to stop the tefillah in the middle? You don't make an interruption in the middle of davening. So he said he drew a comparison, he drew a parallel from the Shulchan Aruch where he writes, if we have, let's say, young children or people who are becoming Balei Tshuva, who don't know how to follow the davening, so then we would be allowed to be mafsik in the middle of davening to help them. So let's say I'm in the middle of Shemona Esrei and there's somebody who doesn't know how to follow along and I have to give them an instruction. For chinuch purposes, I'm allowed to do that. So he said, I have an opportunity to be mechanech my community. And yes, it's in the middle of davening, but there's never another time in my life when I'm going to have their attention like I have it now. So he stood up, stopped the chazan, and said his message. What was his message? He said, it just dawned on him. We say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Malocha La'aretz Kevodo. He said, it just dawned on me. Three Kadoshim in my family. There's Kadosh Lucy, there's Kadosh Maya, there's Kadosh Rina. But he said, my aspiration and my hope is that if they are Kedoshim and they brought some kind of sanctity to the world and to the Jewish people, I hope at least it will be Malocha La'aretz Kevodo. I hope that through them, as we said in the parsha last week, Bikrovaya Kadesh, that there will be a much larger sense of sanctity that will be brought about in the entire Jewish world. Malocha La'aretz Kevodo, and it won't be only singled out on them. There shouldn't have to be any more karbanos, but he said at least, let their memory be something that inspires and uplifts other people to bring them closer to Aviyam Shabashamayim. A very powerful comment. So again, there's been a lot of discussion about Kedoshim, and what does it mean, and how is a family supposed to deal with the fact that now they used to be an ordinary family, and now suddenly they have a child who became a Kadosh overnight. I remember one of the Mishpachot Shkulot once told me, they had a young boy who was killed, and they said to me that one of the most uncomfortable things for them was to, when their son was referred to as a Kadosh. Our son was a young boy. He's a normal kid. He used to play. He used to talk back to us like every kid talks back to their parents. And he used to give the other kids in the family a hard time like every other kid does. And they had a hard time referring to their son as a Kadosh. They said, it almost takes away the human aspect and element of who he was in our lives. Suddenly he goes to this elevated status of a Kadosh and he's no longer our son. So you have to be very careful and very sensitive. You know, if I would say that to somebody, I would think I'm saying the nicest, most sensitive, heartwarming thing in the world. Your son is such a Kadosh. What a gibor. What an amazing person. You just have to be so careful. You never know what can be meaningful to someone and what could be the biggest turnoff. And to them, they said, it just pains them every time that somebody refers to their son as a Kadosh. It's not a Kadosh. He was our son. But as we know, we have this concept of people who die al Kiddush Hashem. So I know it's going to sound a little bit strange and shocking, but instead of focusing on Kiddush Hashem, I'd like to shift our attention and focus on Chilul Hashem. Not a nice thing to talk about. Nobody feels comfortable. But let's focus on Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem, in the most obvious sense, is when someone makes a Chilul Hashem. And we are aware of that. Too many circumstances that we've seen or we've heard about Chilul Hashem. The Torah tells us, V'nigdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. We have to make sure to always make a Kiddush Hashem, wherever we are. But by the way, you know, we tell our children, oh, you're going out into the world, be careful, make a Kiddush Hashem. They see your yarmulke, they see you're Jewish. And yes, when you wear a baseball cap, they know you're Jewish also. So, Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. You know what the Torah says, V'nigdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. The first place to make a Kiddush Hashem is b'soch b'nei Yisrael. When you deal with your neighbors and your friends, when you deal with people in our own community, worry about a Kiddush Hashem there before you go out into the streets and worry how everyone else is going to interpret what you're doing or not doing. The first place to make a Kiddush Hashem is B'soch B'nai Yisrael. And then we branch out. And then we be the Orla Goyim. But the first thing we need to do is focus inward, is worry about ourselves. Not sure if I should say it, but it's so funny. Last week, I paid a visit to Rav Asher Weiss in his home. Unfortunately, he has mono now, so he hasn't been leaving the house. He's been resting all the time. So I went to visit him, and I was talking to him about something that had bothered me. And he said, you know, you remind me of the following story. They say a story about the Divrei Chaim, the Sanza Rav, that the Divrei Chaim said when he was younger, he was so ambitious, and he said, I'm going to change the whole world. I have so much charisma. I have so much to share. I'm going to change everything. And as I got a little bit more mature and older, I realized, you can't change the world. You're just one person. So I decided to narrow it down a little bit. And I decided I'm just going to focus on changing my community. And he said, as time went on, I realized it's very hard to change a community. People do whatever they want. Nobody's going to listen to me. So I decided instead of focusing on my community, let me at least focus on my immediate family. I have so much contact with them. Then as I got older and more mature, I realized it's very hard to change people. Everyone can make their own decisions and their own choices, and it's not up to me. So I decided, halavai, I would be lucky enough to change myself. And I realized as life moved on, maybe I should just try to focus on myself and change one little aspect of who I am. So Rav Asher Weiss said, that's a very well-known story of the Divrei Chaim. So he said, I sometimes say it in the opposite direction. When I was younger, I was so sincere and so genuine. I was so pure. And I looked at myself and I said, you know, I have some terrible midos. I have some things that are really not good. Some personality traits that I would be better off without. And I really want to change myself. I really want to work on myself. Then as I got older, I got more cynical and I said, I am who I am. Nothing's going to happen. Instead of focusing the attention and my energies on changing myself, let me try to be a person who gets involved in my family. Let me tell my children what to do. Let me try to fix them. Let me try to make sure they're going to go on the right path. And then, as I got older, I realized, you know, it's very hard to deal with your kids. You're with them all the time. They take you for granted. They don't really take you seriously. Let me expand my horizons and change the community. I'm going to be an Askin. I'm going to get involved. And as time goes on, I see my community couldn't care less about what I have to say because they know who I am. And they're not interested in my messages that they know are really insincere. So I say, I'm going to hang up a new shingle. I'm going to change the world. And I change my focus. And sometimes that's what happens. V'nikdashti b'self b'nei Yisrael becomes this idea, this mantra that I'm going to be the one who's going to go out there in the whole world and show everybody what it means to be a good Jew. Why not first show yourself what it means to be a good Jew? And show your family what it means to be a nice husband, to be a nice spouse, to be a nice father, to be a nice mother, to be a nice grandmother, a nice aunt or a nice uncle. How about showing your community that you know how to be v'nikdashti b'self b'nei Yisrael and you're not going to be so nasty to other people. And maybe you won't cut them off when they're double parked on Central Avenue. Or maybe you won't double park on Central Avenue. Just maybe. V'nikdashti b'self b'nei Yisrael. So that's one kind of Chilul Hashem. But there's a very unusual kind of Chilul Hashem that is spoken about, that is described in the Navi Yechezkel. Let's read the words together. It's here a number of up. The Navi Yechezkel says the following. Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yechezkel and he says, Ben Adam. Why does he refer to him as Ben Adam? Aren't we all Ben Adam? The answer is because if you would have met Yechezkel, you would have been confused. You would have thought maybe he's not a human. He seems like an angel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to remind everyone, Yechezkel is also a Ben Adam, just like everybody else. And that's why he's often referred to as Ben Adam. Look how he elevated himself to be the person who he became, to be the great prophet, the great Nabi. It didn't happen by itself. He was born a Ben Adam, just like all the rest of us, and he became the great Yechezkel HaNavi. So what does he say? Beis Yisrael Yoshu Malad Masam, Vayitamu Osa Bedrachim Uvalilosam, Kitumas Hanida Haisa Darkam Lefanai, The Eshbo Hamasi Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I got angry at the Jewish people for the way they were conducting themselves. Al Adam Asher Shafchu Al Haaretz Uvegiluleim Timuha. The Jewish people were serving Avodah Zarah. And therefore, as a result of that, V'afitz Osam Bagoyim. I scattered them among the nations. I threw them out of the land of Israel. V'ayizaru Ba'artzos Kedarka Mechalilosam Shafatitim. V'ayavo El Agoyim Asher Bo'usham. And they came to live among the other nations. They were no longer allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. And they came to live among the other nations, vayechalalu eshem kodshi, and they made a chilul Hashem. How did they make a chilul Hashem? What did the Jews do wrong? We didn't ask to be here. God sent us into exile. If it were up to us, a perfect world, we would all be in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the chilul Hashem? What did I do? How was I mechalal shem shamayim? Says the pasuk be'amor lahem, because the umos ha'olam, the nations of the world said, Am Hashem eile me'artzo yotzo. This is the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they come from the land of Israel. So what's the chilul Hashem? Says Rashi. Rashi quoting the Medrash. If they are the nation of God, and they are the people of God, and they are connected to the land of Eretz Yisrael, then why are they here? Is God not powerful enough to figure out how to bring them to where they belong? Obviously, he doesn't really care about them. Or obviously, God is not strong enough to take care of his own people. You say that you are Badim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem? You say that you are the children of God himself? Well, if that's the case, why isn't he taking care of you? Every parent has an obligation to take care of their children. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have neglected you like this? That's the Chilul Hashem. Says the Navi Yecheskel, you know what the greatest Chilul Hashem of all is? That we're all here. That we're here. That there's terror in Israel. That's the Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks weak in the eyes of the nations of the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks like he can't take care of his own children. Why are the Jews scattered about the four corners of the globe? Why is it that there's so much instability in Israel? Why is it that the government is changing over every day? Why is it that there's a terror attack so often? Can God not protect his own people? Obviously, God is not as powerful as we thought. And that, says the Navi Yechezkel, is the greatest Chilul Hashem imaginable. You want to know why we say Kaddish after somebody passes away? We have a belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say it in Ashrei every day. Ashrei outlines our description of how we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rachamav al kol masav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on everyone. He loves people. Tov Hashem lakol v'racha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. Ritzon yireav yaseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what we want and he listens to our tefillos. Really? Really? So ask yourself. You have a young person who's struck with an illness and try to reconcile that diagnosis with this reality that Tov Hashem Lakol V'Rachamav Al Kol Masav. What do you mean? If you have so much Rachmanis, if you're so merciful, how can you make this happen? How can that be? Can there be a greater Chilul Hashem in the world than the feelings that we have when a tragedy happens? It's the greatest Chilul Hashem. It's what the Navi Yecheskel describes here. We start questioning ourselves and asking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not powerful enough to figure out how to cure cancer? Then obviously he didn't create the world. Then obviously, he didn't do all the miracles that we say he did, because if he knows how to do miracles, why can't he do this miracle? And obviously, my assumptions about what the Ribbono Shel Olam means to me, he's so merciful, he's so kind, he's so generous, he listens to our tefillos, really? I don't see any of that happening. This person died. And I was davening for them. And I wanted everything else. I wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy on this individual. How do you reconcile all of these thoughts and feelings that are going back and forth in our heads? Let's be honest. We have these thoughts. How do you reconcile that? It's what the Navi Yecheskel describes the greatest Chilul Hashem in our eyes. It makes us wonder, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu really everything that we thought he was? The only reaction and response to that is, Yisgadel v'yisgadesh Shemei Rabbah. Let's try to build a world of bringing more Kiddush Hashem into our lives, into our reality. As painful a moment as this is when we lose someone and we have a lack of perspective and we have a hard time getting ourselves around what just happened and how can this be and all the questions that we have, the only reaction and response that we have is Yiskadel v'yiskadei Shmei Rabo. We hope that we'll live in a world it should happen in our lifetime, that the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Kiddush Hashem, should come to a clarity in our lives. That once again, we should round out the picture of what happens in our world, and we shouldn't have this confusing perspective any longer. That's what we ask for when we suffer a loss. That's what it is, because that's what we're struggling with. We're struggling with the fact that there's such a Chilul Hashem created, such a void. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring glory back to your name again. Let us have an understanding as to why things like this happen. That's why we say Kaddish. As a direct reaction and response to what the Navi describes as the great Chilul Hashem. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz writes, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz is best known for being the author of Lechadodi. We say his tefillah every Shabbos, every Friday night. And he writes, Amar HaMalach, he had interactions with the angels. Anyone ever heard of the Sefer Magid Meisharim? No? Magid Meisharim is a Sefer written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the most important Jewish halachic work in all of our history. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote another sefer called Magid Meisharim, which is all of his conversations that he had with a malach who came to talk to him at nights. And he records those conversations. So in that book, Magid Meisharim, they have in the introduction a letter from Rabbi Shlomo Alkibitz, who lived also in this Kabbalistic time in Tzfat. And he says, Amar HaMalach, the malach didn't only come to Rabbi Yosef Karo, the malach came and communicated with Rabbi Shlomo Alkibitz as well. And he said, V'yalu le'eretz Yisrael, he was begging people to come to Eretz Yisrael, ki lo kol ha'itim shavos, not every time is opportune. It doesn't always work. Ve'in matzor la'ashem lo'oshia ben rav lema'at. There are endless possibilities, infinite possibilities of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save the Jewish people. Ve'einchem al tachos al kleichem. So why are you staying behind? Because you're worried about your car? How am I going to get my Tesla back to Eretz Yisrael? What's going to be? How much taxes am I going to pay on it? That's what you're worried about. What am I going to do? I just redid my kitchen. Oh, what a waste. That's what you're worried about. Einchem al tachos al kleichem. Ki tov ha'aretz el yono tochelu. Lachein maru v'yalu. He encourages people in his generation to come back to Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. V'yalu le'eretz Yisrael ki yesh le'el yedchem. Be honest. You have the ability to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the only thing that's holding you back is sha'atem mutba'im betit chemdas tevel v'havalav. You are stuck in a pit of chemdas tevel v'havalav. You are engulfed, you are enveloped in a world that just has such an insatiable desire for chemdas tevel v'havalav, for a life of nothingness, for a life running after money. And that's the only reason we're here, says Rav Shlomo Alkibitz in the 1500s. What would he say today? Again, legitimate reasons to be here. But let's think about regenerating a new perspective instead of that great Chilul Hashem that is described by the Navi Yechezkel. How would we be able to frame it as the great Kiddush Hashem? You know, in Eicha, in the very first parak of Eicha, the pasuk says, "Bachos ivkeh b'alayla." It means on the night of Tisha B'Av, we cry, and we cry a lot. Bachos ivkeh, so the Mefarshim all wonder, what is this double terminology of Bachos ivkeh? Look at what Rabbi Yaakov Milisa writes, one of the great Gedolim in the early 1800s. He lived at the same time as Rabbi Kiv Eger, the Chassam Sofer, in Ukraine and Poland. He writes, what does it mean? Bachos ivkeh b'alayla v'dimasa alechya, that our tears are still on our cheeks. He says, Lama lo yispale adam. Person may wonder, Lama yutvas hadar acharon ba'avon amaraglim asher hayu lifnei doras rabim. The Gemara says we are still being punished perpetually for the terrible sin of the Meraglim. You may ask yourself, what do I have to do with the Meraglim? Why am I being punished because of what happened in the days of the Jews in the desert and the Meraglim? What does that have to do with me? Why am I being punished? Why am I paying the price? So he writes, Lezeh Omer, to this I answer, the words of the Navi in Eicha, Vidim Asa Alechia, Kilomar, what happened in the days of the Meraglim was, the Jews were crying, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And what is continuing to happen today? The Jews are crying all over the diaspora and saying, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Vidim Asa Alechia means, our tears are still on our cheeks, because we still are not prepared to give up everything we have here to go to Eretz Yisrael. So you ask yourself, why am I paying the price for the Meraglim? The answer is because we are still living the same experience as the Meraglim. Nothing has changed. It's been thousands of years and nothing has changed. Let's read together. I know it's almost time to end. Let's read together. Amazing description of Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky, one of the great Gedolim, who compiled a sefer called Sefer Eretz Yisrael. Jews were moving to Eretz Yisrael in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. They didn't know the mitzvahs HaTeluyos Baretz. How should they know? Truma, Meiser, all these different things. Shemitah, Yovel. We were not familiar with the observance of these mitzvahs. So he writes here about how Jews had so much Mesiras Nefesh to come to Eretz Yisrael. And he says they had to go on a boat and it was weeks and weeks of travel. You don't have enough time to read it. And then he says, you can read it on your own. Then you came into the port of Yafo and you were so excited, but you know how long it took you? You know how much you had to go through to get from Yafo to Yerushalayim? We take it for granted now. You jump in a taxi. You jump on the train. You know what it was back then, he says. And he describes all of this and how people lost their families as they were traveling, as they were trying to get there. And they established communities. And he said, we gave everything we could to try to have an established community run properly. And then there were all kinds of machalot that broke out and all kinds of epidemics and people dying. Terrible, terrible things. Okay. And he writes, at the time, there were no highways. There was no public transportation. There was none of the reality that we see today. No shops. Nothing. Nothing. Okay. Skip down to the fourth paragraph here where he writes, Umahayom. And what's today? Today, we have an easy trip. We get on a plane, he writes, Me America, Eleha Ba'aviron is 36 sha'ot. Takes 36 hours by plane to get from America to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? This is in the 1950s. Bisfina, you go on a boat, it only takes you 2 weeks. It used to be it took us months. Now it only takes 2 weeks, and we're not so scared. The boats don't really capsize as much as they used to. Okay. All the highways are paved, and we have public transportation, and we have everything that we can want. So what's missing? Next paragraph. Ma chaser kayom. So what is missing? We have everything. We came here with no highways and with weeks on a boat and losing family members and epidemics in all of our communities and people dying left and right and abject poverty. So what's missing today? He writes, only thing that is missing is Osa Hatshuka Ha'aza Sheyakta Belivo Shlomei Amuni Yisrael Akdumim. The only thing that's missing is the desire and the passion of the Jews who used to feel as they lived in the diaspora that this is not where I belong. It's the only thing missing. Everything else is here. We have an established country. We have everything that makes it convenient for us to live in Eretz Yisrael. It only takes 36 hours to get there by plane. So why are we not going? Because we don't care. Because we don't have enough of a desire and a passion. I'm all for traveling. I love to see things. But it pained me a lot this year. I was talking to someone who went to Panama for vacation. And you can't point a finger at anyone because our whole community was in Panama for vacation. So it could have been anyone. And I was talking to this person and he said, you know, this was my first trip since COVID that I went on an airplane. I said to myself, really? Your first trip since COVID and you chose to go to Panama? How does a Jew do that? Your first trip since COVID. I'm not saying every Jew needs to go to Eretz Yisrael. Some people can't afford it. Some people don't have the availability. But you love to travel. And during COVID, you didn't go anywhere. And your first trip post-COVID is to Panama? How is your first trip post-COVID not to Eretz Yisrael? Explain that to me. I don't get it. Maybe I'm crazy. But I don't get it. I don't understand it. Let me close. I said I'm going to close five times already. Really, I'm really closing now. It's a good thing my wife's not here. She would throw the book at me. So, let me just close. Don't worry, she doesn't throw books at me. Take it easy. She's fine. But when she listens online, she does say, you just said you're going to close 10 times. So just end it. What?
Jewish ending.
Jewish ending. You know?
Jewish goodbye.
Yedidya Meir was by us this Shabbos. And he said, you know, they say about Jewish speakers that, you know, they're flying on a plane and they take off and they have a great flight and a great speech and everything, and then comes for landing and they're just circling around. They can't figure out how to land a plane. I'm going to land a plane with this. I'm going to read you an amazing speech that Natan Sharansky gave a couple of years ago on Yom HaAtzmaut. Listen to what he said. In the year 1970, he writes, Echad HaKvutzot HaRishonot SheNisu LeFrotz Es Mesach HaBarzel, one of the first groups to try to resist the Iron Curtain. Amda ledin ba'ashmas begida b'moledes. They were being held on trial for treason. They were being held on trial by the Iron Curtain for not following the law. One of those individuals was Silva Zalmanson. You know her? I think it's Sylvia, probably. Zalmanson was Echat Hane'ashamot. She was one of the women who was prosecuted for treason. They held her on trial. She was a chelek mechabura shenista lachtof mato. She was part of a group of women who tried to steal an airplane, a fighter jet. Kedei latus ito le'eretz Yisrael, to take that plane and get themselves to Eretz Yisrael. So she was held on trial for that. Besof ha-mishpat, at the end of her court case, shalu osa, they asked her, Ech at rotza lesakem es hatiyunim shelach? How would you like to present final arguments? Here we are, we've heard all the issues. You're going to be thrown away in jail, locked up for a long time in Siberia. So is there anything you'd like to say before we finish? Hi mamash chasma is mishpata bekriya. And she opens her mouth and says, yes, I have a final statement. You know what my final statement is? Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. And she sat down. 8 years later, he writes, he was being held on trial for the same thing. Gamoti ha-shofet sha'al basof, when my trial was finishing, the judge stood up and looked at me and he said, do you have any final statements that you'd like to share? What would you like to say to all those who are in this kangaroo court here? And he turns to them and he says, Amarti lo, lebeit ha-mishpat hazeh ein li ma lahagid, to all of you who are here on the court, all the justice system here, we know you're corrupt. I have nothing to say to you. I don't care to talk to you. However, le'am Yisrael uli ishti ani omer, to my wife and to the entire Jewish people I say, l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. So he writes, why was it important that the final message of the woman who came before me, Sylvia, was emeshkachech Yerushalayim? Why was it important that my final message to the world, not to those in the courtroom, but to the world, was the Shana Haba Yerushalayim? He says, because you want to know when you're going into prison that you're going to have a future. That's what's terrifying about it. You don't know what's going to be. And when I thought about that, and I realized, Shaha'am HaYehudi Yamshich Lihilachem Avurecha Ad Yom Shichrurecha, when I realize that the Jewish people all over the world are going to fight till their last moment to try to get me free. When I'm about to go into prison and I think my life may be over, what is it that I think in my mind that is the semel, that is the sign of Jewish continuity? You know what that is? What is it that is the promise of all generations? And what is it that binds all generations together? It is Hakamiya LiYerushalayim. It is our collective longing and yearning, pining to be back in Yerushalayim, to live in Eretz Yisrael again. When you're going through a tough time and you're thinking about Jewish continuity and what's going to be and what will be my future, the only thing that gives hope, he says, is that which the Jewish people have hoped for 3,000 years. And that is, Emeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. That is, L'shana Habab Yerushalayim. That's the only thing that has kept us as a people, as a nation, that has kept us focused. And that's what we daven for, that's what we wish for, that's what we think about. As we celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, it's not about Zionism, it's not about a prime minister, it's not about a government, it's not about politics. It's about recognizing the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. It's recognizing how lucky we are to be living in this generation that has been able to see the unfolding of Aschalta de Geula, and its understanding that what has bound the Jewish people together for the last 3,000 years is the fact that they have been yearning to come back to that time when they will once again be in Yerushalayim. It should be our schus, it should be our hope that we have the opportunity